Good morning and welcome to Mornings with Ken. Hey, you know the routine. Go get that cup of coffee. Go get that virtual donut. Kick off those shoes, grab a seat, and stay a while. Because I'm really glad you're here. There is a lot of talk in the Christian realm about the rapture, the end of days, last things, Armageddon. And really, it's been more in the Christian conversations on podcasts and just all over media, social media, and writings and Christian thought and perspectives, really due to what's happening over in Israel right now. And I'm sure all you listeners know what's been going on over in Israel with now Iran sending drones over and drones and missiles and attacking Israel. And of course, Israel has put up their Iron Dome and trying to stop the missiles from coming over. And Russia has warned and told the United States, don't even think about getting involved in this or there's going to be some trouble. So a lot of people are talking about the end of days. And rightly so, because we're starting to see the signs that's been predicted in the Bible thousands and thousands of years ago. And isn't it funny that the whole world revolves around the land of Israel? If you think about that. The whole world revolves around the Jewish people and Israel. And to think that some in the Christian community believe that Israel isn't important because of the new covenant that God, that the church has replaced Israel, you know, replacement theology. How foolish of us to think that. The church has not replaced Israel. Israel will always have a place in Israel's God's people, whether we like it not as evangelical Christians. I'm sorry to say the church has not replaced Israel. They both exist and they both will continue to exist until the final last things. But you're hearing terms like the rapture and things like Armageddon and stuff like that, but I was brought back to Matthew 25, and while this is happening, we still got business to do, right? Jesus told us to go and make disciples and baptize them, go into all the world, and he told us to go, and he told us to preach the gospel. And I want to read a little bit out of Matthew 25, verse 30. We're going to start in verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before him. And he will separate the people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. So remember, there's a great day of separation. There is a great day of separation. And I believe that Matthew 25, verses 31, is speaking here, of course, to the believers, but I also believe to the non-believers or those nominal believers. Please hold on a second while I cough. Excuse me. Or those that think they are believers. He is going to separate the sheep and the goats. And only he knows who the sheep are, and who the goats are. Let's read a little bit further, Matthew 25, going down to verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, and take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." And notice here, notice this verse 37. Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you?" I want to read that again. Then the righteous will answer. Then the who will say this? The righteous. Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and we clothed you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" Then the king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." I'm going to read verse 40 again. The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't invite me in. I needed clothes, and you didn't clothe me. I was sick and in prison. You did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when do we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for the least of these, you did not do it for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. See, folks, we're supposed to stay busy down here. Yes, we can be concerned about what is happening in Israel, and we should be. I mean, we should be knowledgeable of what's happening. I don't think we should worry about it, but we should be knowledgeable of what's happening over in Israel and pay attention to the news. But we have work to do. A few weeks ago, I talked about Jesus doing the will of his Father, the kingdom work. Jesus doing the kingdom work. I remember we talked about how Jesus came to set the prisoners free spiritually. He came to set the prisoners free, but he also said to preach good news to the poor. And he mentioned these very things that we're talking about here. We have a great kingdom work to do. Why do we neglect part of the kingdom work? Why do we neglect part of the kingdom work? I mean, we attend church well, and I'm not preaching to you. I'm talking to myself. But often, you know, I attend church. We worship well. We read our Bibles well. We worship, we pray well. we gather together as the body of Christ and do community together. But when do we do the kingdom work and not just preach at people? But when do we do the kingdom work? You know, James talks in the book of James, it talks a lot about, you know, show me your faith by your works. They go hand in hand. If you're a true follower of Christ, you will do the work. I'm going through a book on holiness, some guys that I'm gathering together and doing life with. We're going through the book on holiness. And it talked about if you're going to be a believer, holiness must be a part of being a believer. Pursuing holiness is part of being a believer. And also among that is pursuing the kingdom work is part of being a believer. So I just want to encourage you today, as you go about your day, think about doing the kingdom work today. Do we only want to hear the words of Jesus, the ones that we like and the ones that we want to do? You know, it's great when we all need to get out there and share the gospel. I think really the church is neglecting that outside of the church walls. We do good inside the church walls, but we neglect it outside of the church walls. And I just want to encourage, let's do all the kingdom outside of the church walls. Let's preach the gospel. Let's make disciples. Let's baptize them, disciple them. But yet, let's do the other part of the gospel. Why is it so hard for us to realize there's an additional part of the gospel? It is Jesus' own words. Jesus' very own words. The works of building the kingdom. The works of building the kingdom. So, hey, I hope you have a blessed day. I love you guys. Thanks for spending time with me today. Bye-bye now. So far from hell, we might laugh.
ourselves as unshaken while standing on the precipice of what will never be. But we believe so well, don't we tell ourselves? Don't we take exclusive pride that we abide so far from hell? We might laugh together, but don't we cry alone? For the ashes and the dust we've spread.